Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you guys for coming and welcome you again in the name of our Lord Jesus. Today's message is seeking God's will in our lives. Seeking God's will. And as we go through the message, just in the back of your head, I want you to think about the word mindset. Think about the word mindset. Okay, seeking God's will in our lives may be one of the most fulfilling and frustrating parts of our walk as believers in Christ. Sometimes seeking God's will may be a long time of prayer, reflection. It may be long road, and it requires patience, right? I know some of you guys can appreciate this, difficult times in your life that it's been a struggle, right? It's like you're ice skating uphill kind of thing. It's not easy. And sometimes in your life, you've gone through times where God's will was just like, bow, right up in your face. Completely surprised you. And God's ability to surprise us is kind of funny if you think about it. Because isn't He the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. But no one can knock you off your feet like God can knock you off your feet, right? Sometimes we just have to stop when that happens and be like, whoa. Or as somebody who's not here today might say, dude. Right? These situations that we find ourselves, they may be blessings, they may be trials. More than likely, it's going to be a combination of both of those, right? So the point is of this, me saying this, is trying to fathom God's future for you is problematic at best, right? And I'm not up here trying to tell you that this is what God is going to plan for your future. I'm trying to figure that out in my own life. To help us do that, though, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. We'll start there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We will start in verse 18 there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One verse, super packed. I love these, right? Before we get into the message, let's pray one more time, please. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that we can seek you, that we can adopt a mindset that is focused on you. As we go through these scriptures and seek answers to the questions we're going to ask, let us just keep our focus on you, Lord, and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we begin to unpack this super packed verse, like I said, right? We're going to ask three questions. We're going to ask how, we're going to ask when, and we're going to ask why. So starting at the beginning of the verse, rejoice, rejoice always. Well, how do we rejoice? To look at that, let's go to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Once you get there, Psalm 35, and we're going to go to verse 9 and 10. So Psalm 35, verse 9 and 10. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in His salvation. My whole being will exclaim, Who is like you, Lord? Now, this does not look the same for anybody. Earlier, while the praise and worship team was up here, how they sound rejoicing is a whole lot nicer than when I'm trying to sound. Well, I'm trying to sound rejoicing. I cannot sing. I am the epitome of Psalm 95, where it says, make a joyful noise. That's all you can say about my singing is, it's noise. The point is that we're all different. We're all unique. We all do it differently. Some people get so excited when they're during praise and worship that they're running around, that they're jumping up and down. They may start speaking in tongues. They may fall out. On the other side of that coin, I know people that are so introverted that they kind of all just keep it in, right? And like a smile or a tear or a raised hand is like near hysteria for people like that. We're all unique, right? The Spirit moves on us differently. And that is okay, because you know what? God knows our heart. Let's go to when. When do we rejoice? Let's look in God's Word for that. Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. So, Philippians 4, and we're going to go to verse 4 through 6. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So, one of the things we're going to talk about here is the kind of the all-encompassing word, rejoice always, right? So does that mean that we're constantly just, Lord God, you are great, Lord God, you are great, 24 hours, 7 days a week? Well, if we actually did that all the time, we'd have some sore throats and people would probably think we're a little imbalanced, right? So we have to find that balance. So when we're thinking about that, we read verse 4 that says rejoice. And now let's look at verse 5 again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. See, we need to adopt a rejoiceful mindset about who God is, because He is holy, He is righteous, He is good. That's what we need to think about when we are rejoicing. Rejoice in Him. He is, after all, the Father who created us. He is also the Son that died and rose again for us. And He is also the Holy Spirit that leads us to Christ. He is all those things, and we should be rejoiceful in that. Why do we rejoice? Well, 1 Thessalonians says, for it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We will talk a little bit more of that, about that, so let's put a little pin in that for now. All right. Let's go on to praying. Pray continually. How do we do that? Well, let's look at God's Word for the answer to that too. Matthew chapter 6 this time, please. Matthew chapter 6. If we're looking for instruction on prayer, well, let's look to what Jesus says about prayer. All right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. See, Jesus Himself is telling us how we should pray. Now, when we're praying, it's near second nature for us to bow our heads and close our eyes, right? Humbling ourselves to God. Sometimes praying is us on our faces to God. Now, in my own life, those of you who know me know I teach at one of the charter schools during the week. When I'm at work and I'm praying, and thank you, Lord, that I have a place I can pray at work and not get in trouble, I'm not worried about getting in trouble. I'm not worried about being embarrassed. Everybody at that school knows who I am. They know I'm one of the assistant pastors here, and they know that I'm answering God's call. That's not what it is. What I usually do, though, is I'm praying under my breath, because what I'm praying is not between me and them. It's between me and God. Right? If they come into a room and they see me with my eyes closed and my head bowed and I'm mumbling under my breath, of course I'm praying. It's between me and Him. When do we pray? Well, continually does mean constantly if we're looking at the word itself. So if we're constantly on our faces or we're constantly closing our eyes, there's going to be some things that we may have problems doing, say like driving a car. For those of you with kids, how about changing a diaper with your eyes closed? Not so easy, right? Okay, so I'm not saying that we should not be humble. We should be humble before God. Okay? I'm saying we have to have a prayerful and humble mindset. And that should drive our prayer life. Right? We have to humble ourselves before God. And that means we have to give everything we are to Him. Another really super critical part of prayer. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll look at this. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll go to verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So this is a crucial part of our prayer life. We need to seek the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. We need to seek Him. We need to let Him guide us. We need to humble ourselves and submit to His guidance. When do we pray? Well, 1 Thessalonians once again says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're going to stick another pin in that. I do promise that we'll get to that. We'll go on to giving thanks. Giving thanks. How do we give thanks? Once again, that how question. For that, let's go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And we're going to be at the very first part of the chapter. Psalm 9, starting in verse 1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing your praises, or sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Well, some thanks and praises are a little more elaborate than others. Think about yesterday, 72, sunny, slight breeze. It was a beautiful day, right? I'm out in my backyard and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Right? Now think about graduating school or getting married, having kids, getting a job, getting promoted. You're more like, thank you, Lord! Right? And sometimes when one of our loved ones has been called home after a long, hard struggle, we're more of a humble, thank you, Lord. When do we give thanks? Here's a tough one. In good circumstances? Well, absolutely. We're going to give thanks in good circumstances. That's the easy thing, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. We should appreciate God's blessings. Because remember, He doesn't have to bless us. He does it because He loves us and He is good. That's why. Not because we deserve it. How about challenging circumstances, though? A little harder now, isn't it? And you may say, Pastor James, are you saying we need to be thankful in the midst of our suffering? Absolutely. Yes, we do. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 for that. Romans chapter 5. Right in the beginning of that chapter. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Now, before we get into this, there's a few things I'd like to point out. First, not one of us has a perfect life. No one here was born in Mayberry. No one here spent their early life living with the Cleavers up there with Beaver, right? Right? Not one of us has ever been in any of those idyllic and completely unrealistic settings. Not one. This is a fallen world. Second, what would our faith look like if we never went through anything? If we never struggled through anything? In my own life, take my marriage for example. My wife thought I was such an idiot that I could blow my nose the right way. Okay? But, you know, now I'm a half idiot and I can blow my nose like a big boy. Right? But it was the Holy Spirit working in our marriage, working in each one of us, that has helped us get to where we are today. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. It can't be. No relationship between two fallen people, sinful people, can be. It's just not going to happen. Perfection is unattainable this side of heaven. What God is telling us through Paul's writing is we need to adopt a thankful mindset. We need to trust that no matter what circumstances we have going on in our lives, no matter what is happening, whether it be good or it be bad, trial or blessing, that God is moving in our lives and that He is going to work out what's going on. He's going to change us for His glory and our good. We need to trust in that. We need to rest in that. So now why do we give thanks? Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. We'll start taking all those pins I've been telling you to put in there. We'll start taking those out in a minute. But I want to read that verse from 1 Thessalonians one more time. We talked, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay? We talked about a rejoicing mindset. We talked about a prayerful mindset. And we just talked about a thankful mindset. So let's start pulling pins out now. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay. So, if you break one of these out and open it up and start looking for verses on God's will, you might want to pack a lunch. Hundreds of verses you're going to find. Hundreds of verses in this. This is not a trifold pamphlet, right? This is God's special revelation to His creation, and we are His creation. One of the things that Pastor Brian said last week just echoed through my mind as I prepared this week. The Holy Spirit just kept going, look at that, James. Look at that, James. He said, if we want to know what God's will for our life is, we don't look for the action. We don't look for that thing we have to do. We look for Him. We look for God. And then He'll let us know. When I think of the application for this verse, it is so simple and it's staring us right in the face. The second part of that verse is, God's will is that we seek Him. We trust in Him. Right? He will reveal what He wants us to do when we get there, not before. It is literally His will for us in Christ Jesus. Right? So how? That's an interesting question. How? All that pin reasoning comes out now, right? That's what we're going to use it for. We seek God, and it's simple, really, when you get down to it. Seeking God means we open this. Seeking God means we are seeking Him in His Word. But just opening up a Bible is not enough. There are people that go to school that are secular Bible experts. And I know it's kind of an oxymoron, right? Secular Bible experts. They don't believe in God, but they know everything in this. So that's where the mindset comes in. We have to have the mindset. We have to take our eyes off ourselves, and we have to have a rejoiceful mindset because God is who He is. He is holy. He is righteous. He is love. We have to have a prayerful mindset in submission to the Holy Spirit. And we need to have a thankful mindset for Jesus' sacrifice and His resurrection. Then and only then are we ready to seek God. And then He will tell us what His will is. Before I start closing in prayer, I would really just urge anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, please, please, please do not hesitate. One of us, one of Pastor Bob, Pastor Lorenzo, one of the leadership team, please come talk to us. It would be our honor to talk to you about who Jesus is and how much He loves you. Please pray with me. Oh, Lord, thank You so much for this day. Thank You so much for Your word, Lord. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your will being done in our lives. It may not be comfortable. It may be downright uncomfortable. But, Lord, help us trust that Your will is done in our lives. Help us trust that everything You do is for Your glory and our good. Help us just lift high the name of Christ in our lives, that those around us would see that, that they would see Your light shining out through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.